We've been studying in the book of Galatians, and I want to read one verse in Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. When I think about this time of year, this season, when we're thinking about the Lord's coming, I think we can tie one verse in with our thoughts on this season, and that is in Matthew chapter 20, verse 27. It says, Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servants, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Jesus Christ came to minister to us. He came to minister to us because we were in grave need. We were sinners in need of a Savior. We needed to know who our God was. In other words, Jesus Christ presented God to us, His Father to us. And He came to minister to us that we might be encouraged to do what? To minister for each other. Jesus Christ lived here on the earth ministering to us. He was living for others, and we too need to be living for others. And this passage we read this morning, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And this has to do with others. We're to put others before ourselves. And so we notice that it says, as we have opportunity. This is an individual thing. Oftentimes today, in fact, our government is trying to make the church the agent in which ministers to others. And it's really individuals ministering to others. The church isn't downtown. The church is really not this building. The church is this whole group of people. But this whole group of people disperse into the community, and we rub shoulders with those that are in need. They need a Savior. They need a hug. They need a word of encouragement. They need to be pointed in the right direction. And so therefore, we have opportunity to minister to others. We need to be doing that. And it says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Doing good and sinning not. To refuse to help people, to encourage people, really is a sin. James tells us in 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's a sin not to encourage somebody. Can you imagine being around someone that's always causing you to live a defeated life? That's not a service. We need to be encouraging one another to live a life that's positive. And there's nothing like the things of the Lord to encourage one in their life, to have joy and peace and encouragement. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, we've been over this verse many times in the last few weeks. But here it says, who will render every man according to his deeds, his works. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, or a better translation is incorruption, eternal life, or age-lasting life in the coming kingdom. So doing good is going to pay off. God wants us to do things. He's going to reward us for doing them. There's also another way to get you to do right, and that is warning you of the consequences of doing wrong. And sin brings consequences. And if you know to do right and you don't do it, it's sin. And there are consequences that come with that. But if you know to do right and you do them, then there is reward. Then there is blessing, and that will come with it. And I remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ came to minister to us, to encourage us, to give us the light in which we need to walk, In fact, the Lord told His disciples in Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 8, "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." Who is the chief among you? Those who are serving. Those who are ministering to others. And so therefore, if you want to be the top dog, be the servant of servants. In other words, that's about as low as you can get when it comes to serving. But you know what? That's where Jesus is, or was when He was here on the earth. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 7, He says, "Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching." Did you know that there are some of us that have a better, have a gift of ministry? Did you know that? I've been able, sometimes I don't do a very good job of encouraging people. But you know, not everybody has that gift. Somebody can come along to say, you know, hoop it up, or whatever, you know. And it just turns that person off. But there are some that just have the knack of being able to say that right word, to touch in a special way on the shoulder, or to pray with someone, to encourage them. Some of us have a gift of doing that. And some of us can just do the best we can in encouraging other people. In fact, one of the things that we need to realize is that doing good and communicating is a sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." You know, sometimes in helping other people, it's going to cause us to sacrifice something. It's going to cost us to sacrifice time. It could cost us money in helping other people. But you know what? That's a sacrifice that God wants to accept. So serving others and living for others is something that God wants us to do. He's going to reward us for doing that. And He is going to accept those kind of sacrifices. Now, a lot of times we wonder, just who should we be ministering to? In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men." Now, does that mean that we are not to turn down anybody that is in particular need? Well, we know one thing in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. The Lord says, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you." There are some times when we're going to be helping people that don't like you, that hate you. And we're encouraged to be a blessing to them. Romans 12, 14, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not." I tell you what, when you can do that, you stand apart from the rest of the world. The world today is just going to start a fight. Road rage is a thing going on today because people don't like what other people are doing. And we are encouraged to love our enemies, to do good to them. In other words, if someone hates you and cuts you off, give them room. Give them some space. It may save you a dent. It may even save you more than that. But we're to bless them which persecute and not to curse. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18 and verse 20. It says we're to minister to our enemies. We're to recompense no man for evil for evil. We need to prove things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The Lord allowed us to have a little room. We can't always please everybody. We can't always make everybody like us. We just need to do the best we can. And one of the ways that we can do the best we can is what? If thy enemy's hungry, do what? Starve him out. No. We're to feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. Now that doesn't mean buy him a beer. Okay? That means give him some water. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. You know, you minister to those that hate you, it's going to hurt them in a way. It's going to make them feel pretty low that they've treated you as so mean, and yet you're treating them with kindness. Now, that's the kind of ministry they won't forget. Now, there is a limit. Our ministry to others should be limited. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Should we be ministering to someone who is lazy and refuses to work? No. We're not to be ministering to that person. We are to... You know, there's nothing like hunger to stimulate desire to do what? To work, to get something to eat. And that's how it works. When you have a real need, and there's a way for you to get it that's honorable, you need to pursue that way. And we should not be interfering with the way God is dealing with you. There are often times that we interfere with God's plans and purposes in the life of a brother or a child of God by relieving his difficulties when God put him in the difficulties to begin with. And when we're in there relieving them, we're counterproductive. People will talk about, you know, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, in Luke chapter 10 is the story about the Samaritan and someone in need. And the Lord said, "This was your neighbor." Now, let me just read here. It says in Luke 10, verse 33 and 34, "A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was." Now, this is where opportunity arises. He was on his way doing his business. And he passed along the way and he found a man half dead. I don't understand half dead, but he was in pretty bad shape. Okay? "And when he saw him, he had compassion on him." What does that mean, when he saw him? Was this hearsay that he was hurting? No, he could tell with observation and experience that this man had a need. It wasn't a telephone call saying, "I need money for food." If you understand what I'm driving at. When you're in the way with someone and you can see that their cupboards are bare, that's one thing. But for somebody to tell me that their cupboards are bare, that's another entirely. I had somebody call me this week and wanted to know if we pay light bills. I told them, I said, "No, we don't pay light bills." And I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if their light bill is so high that they're trying to raise marijuana. So when we go down there and pay their light bill so they can grow more marijuana. Well, you know, you see people. There was a place across the street whose lights were on all night long and they were bright. And I wondered whether they were what they were growing up there. I didn't. But usually those people are not begging for money to pay their light bill. Because it is high. But anyway. So, this guy saw this man who had a need. There was no guesswork. There was no hearsay. There was no telephone call. He was on the way. He saw the guy. He was bleeding. He was hurting. He was laying on the ground. He couldn't move. And what does he do? "And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." Now, this is as you have opportunity. You may not have enough time to do all that. In fact, this guy didn't have enough time, but he had the money. And he got the innkeeper to take care of him, and he says, if you need any more money when I get back, I'll pay you. But as we have opportunity, now not all of us have the money to pay light bills and to things like that. And so therefore you let those things go and you do what you can and you don't worry about it. Now, there's a passage of scripture in the Old Testament that I think that we need to reflect on. And it had to do with King Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles 19, verse 1, it says, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem." Well, let me just say this. He had been in a war. And he was glad to be coming home in peace. Because the Syrians, I believe it was the Syrians, were in hot pursuit of him. And when they found out it was Jehoshaphat, they quit running after him because they were after Ahab. They wanted to kill him. And so Jehoshaphat got out of there without getting hurt, and man, he was glad to get home. But you know what? Verse 2. "And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Wouldest thou help the ungodly?'" That is Ahab, king of Israel. That's what he was up there doing. Jehoshaphat, he says, "Our people as your people, as our army will be as your army. You know, we're in this together. You know, rah, 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 we'll go out there and get them." And the word, and he said, and this prophet came out to Jehoshaphat. He says, "What are you doing helping the ungodly?" He says, he continues, "Therefore is wrath upon you." We're not to help the ungodly. We're not to help them. And if we are, and if we are prone to help the ungodly, then the wrath of God is on us. And but nevertheless, verse 3 tells us, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou takest away the groves of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." In other words, we can be doing things right, and we can get ourselves in trouble by trying to help somebody who is ungodly, and we should not be helping. So this is the reason why you just don't minister somebody on a whim. You need to know the situation. And we need to realize the fact that if we are a friend of the world, we're the enemy of God. James chapter 4, verse 4. And "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enemy with God?" You know, if you're a friend of the world, that's the same thing as being an adulterer. Now, would you like to be accused of being an adulterer or adulteress? Well, being a friend of the world's got that title on you, got that tag on you. Well, anyway, we don't want to be a friend of the world and be the enemy of God. Because whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, opportunity. As we individuals have, that's present active, this is a continual thing, this is a thing that we need to be continually looking for, an opportunity to minister to others. This is not something we just all decide to do, we go down and volunteer on a certain day. Or this has to do with constantly looking to see if we can be of any help to someone else. And the word opportunity has to do with time. Doesn't necessarily have to do with money. Can be money, but I think the word kairos is time. As we are having, therefore, time, let us do, that's also in the present tense, but it's also subjunctive. In other words, this is not a command. This is subjunctive. In other words, it leaves room for us to discern the situation in ministering to others. If he's an ungodly man, no. If he's just lying to you to have money, then you need to discern that. But anyway, we may do it and we may not do good unto all. And so we just need to appreciate the fact that we may have opportunity to give hospitality, give food in time of need. Somebody was, I wonder who it was or where I heard it, but there was, there's a friend of ours. She goes down to McDonald's and she buys gift certificates for meals. So if somebody she runs into needs a meal, she just gives them a McDonald's gift certificate. And they go down and get a hamburger and some fries and something to drink. That's being hospitable. There are times when you have them in to minister to them in that regard. In Luke or in Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And we need to appreciate the fact you don't know who sometimes you're ministering to, but you can discern who they are and the leadership of the Lord in that matter too. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 6, chapter 6 verse 1, it says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Ministering to others is not something that's a fanfare. You don't want to go around bragging about what you've done for somebody. It's better to just kept secret, kept quiet. In Matthew 6, 3 and 4 it says, when thou doest thine alms or ministry, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. I think this is just saying, keep it secret. My right hand and my left hand don't have a mind, but this one up here, this head up here knows what my left and right hand are doing. That's not the point. The point is this, it's private. Ministry sometimes is private. And in verse 4, it says that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee. The word openly is not in the text. He says, in fact, it's the word pay. It's not the same word, reward, as in verse 1. It's two different words. Reward in verse 1 and pay in verse 4. You're going to get paid for doing good. From whom? From the Father. He is one that's going to do that, and He's not going to do it where everybody can see it. Okay? And it may not be now. It might be when we get to heaven. Okay? We need to appreciate that. You may not get your pay now. Okay? Let's go on. Now, it does tell us to do good to those who are the household of faith. Especially in Hebrews 6:10, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What does it mean to be of the household of faith? This is not just those that are saved. It's the just that shall live by faith. It's by faith that we what? Please God. We really need to be ministering to those who are what? Trying to please God. If you're trying to please God, you know what? You're going to be godly. You can't be ungodly and live by faith. There's no verse of Scripture that says the ungodly shall live by faith. No such verse. It's the just. It's the godly that live by faith, not the ungodly. And we're to minister especially to those. We are to really encourage those that are living by faith. You know why? Because they are the ones that are going to have the greatest struggle to quit pleasing God and living by faith. So, we need to appreciate the fact that they are in need. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We are Christ of Christ's house. We're living by faith. And those of us that are living by faith are holding fast the confidence. They're rejoicing in hope, and we want them to do it till the end. And so it's the house of Christ, the house of faith. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We need to minister to each other according to our ability. Our abilities are all different. Some have money and time. Some just have time. And you don't need to feel like you're cheated because you can't do what someone else can do. You know, if you understand what I'm saying? That's why it's be done in private. When you start bragging on what you're doing, oh, I gave him, you know, I'm just thinking about the fellow who says, I'm going to give $35 million to the school for a new stadium. Well, I read in the paper that ain't going to happen, you know. A lot of hoopla over $35 million, and it's just going to go away. Best thing to do is just keep it quiet. And that way, if you don't have $35 million to give for the used stadium or anything else, if all you can do is lay that brick and go on your way according to your ability. Because if you can't do as much as someone else, then you may be discouraged to do what you can do. Okay? Now, we need to be distributing to the necessity of whom? The saints. The saints are the ones who are living by faith. This is the reason why I'm bringing that out. In Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. The saints in Jerusalem were hungry. They were poor. And Paul was out collecting an offering to bring to Jerusalem to help them out. Because they were worthy. They were godly. And they were living a life that was separated unto the Lord. In fact, I like what is said about Stephanus' house in 1 Corinthians 16:15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I like that. You know, a drug addict, he can't help it, can he? He's got to have a fix. These people were addicted to what? To helping others. You know, I hope all of us get that kind of an addiction. You know what I mean? We need that kind of addiction. Now, I don't want you to go out and steal and rob others to satisfy your addiction, okay? In other words, we can satisfy that addiction by working with our hands, right? It's a have, so we can give and help others. And so this couple, this house, was addicted. They addicted themselves. This word addicted means they had set, they were devoted to what? Others. And in particular, unto the ministry of the saints. And like I was saying, that Paul was collecting an offering for the poor in Jerusalem in Romans 15, verses 25 and 26. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And so that was Paul was carrying that gift for them. Now, ministering to the saints has to do with praying for them as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Again, ministering to those that are holy. The word saints, by the way, not all saved people are saints. Not all saved people are living holy lives. There are some saved people that are living in sin. And they need to repent of their sin. And they are not holy ones. The word saint means holy ones. But Paul is ministering to the saints. And how were they ministering to the saints? Well, Matthew chapter 25 verses 37 through 39 tells us how these ministered to the saints, the brethren. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? You know what this is saying? When we minister to others, who are we ministering to? Absolutely. We're ministering to the Lord. He said, we didn't know we were ministering to you, Lord. When did we do that? When did we give you something to drink and something to eat? When did we come and visit you in prison or in the sick bed? Well, he tells you that right there. And the king answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's a privilege. You know, that helps you to get addicted to serving others and living for others. Knowing that when you help someone in need, you're helping the Lord. Because, you know, sometimes the Lord allows us to be in need so that someone can help him by helping you. Someone can feed him by feeding you. You see what I, you see the connection between the two? And it's not to the greatest of these, my brethren, but the least. He's encouraging us to do it to those that are not necessarily the most attractive, the most popular, the one who stands out in the crowd. And then I want to close with Hebrews 6:10. I'm encouraged with this verse because I know this, that the Lord's not going to forget what we do. Hebrews 6:10, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. What you have shown toward His name. Showing it toward His name has to do with what? Your eye on the coming kingdom. The name of the Lord has to do with the coming kingdom and reigning, ruling and reigning with Him. He says, you have shown... your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints once, and what? And do minister. You keep on doing it. It's not a one-time event. It's a practice. It's an addiction. And you're looking for opportunity, time to do it. That's what the Lord came to do. You know what? He taught us to do that by His own example in ministering to those in need. Even when I was just thinking about that. You know, when He came to the nation of Israel, but you know, there was an occasional Gentile that came by Him, and they had a need. I was thinking about the Gentile woman whose daughter was sick. You know what? He healed his daughter. The Syrophoenician woman. And the Lord says, it's not fit for me to give Gentiles my kids food. But she says, well, our little dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, the kids' table. He says, you got it. And so the Lord did that. He ministered to those in need. And we need to do the same thing. Father, we just thank You for Your blessings upon us. We thank You, Lord, for the example that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ as He ministered to the needs of those around Him. He fed thousands. He healed thousands. He taught His disciples who wrote to minister to us that we too might minister to maybe not thousands, but at least what our abilities might be. We minister to You by helping others. Help us, Lord, to be looking for brethren in need, for those that are seeking to enter Your kingdom, that we might be an encouragement to them and to provide for them, knowing that we're providing for You. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.